Hue and Cry Press, an extension of the company behind Hue and Cry Art and Literary Journal, has just published its first book. They selected Wellington poet Sarah Barnett, and it's a first for her too. Her debut collection is called A Man Runs Into a Woman. I asked Sarah what both firsts mean for her.
It is really exciting, and I have to say that my publisher, Chloe Lane, she did an amazing job with the book and the designers as well, the international office. Yeah, they took such care with it, which was really great, and it's been a learning curve, I think, for both myself putting the book together and also for the press, just to see what goes into putting out a collection of poetry.
Your imagination is quite extraordinary. You put yourself into the minds of so many different people, and I did want to look at the collection you have of condemned killers, essentially, and I wondered what triggered that.
Well, yeah, so I had somebody say to me recently that it's quite a grisly topic, and
I wouldn't say it's grisly, but I found it really interesting because these are minds that most of us would never want to
go into.
Yeah.
Well, I really did want to inhabit their mind. I'm quite interested in voice and how, by inhabiting other people's voices, I can enter their worlds. And I came to the idea of the death row poems when I was writing a poem, I think it was in 2006, and I was researching something around death, and I came across a website that had all the criminal or police reports of the crimes, and it was coupled with the last words of the criminals. And I spent a long time reading them, and I found the police reports to be very, I think astringent's the wrong word, like very brief and concise, very unemotional, whereas the last words of the inmates, of sometimes these what I would consider quite horrible human beings, were very emotional and humane and sincere. And the idea of the two voices really struck me, that they were both telling what was the same story, and how at times the men, primarily men, had changed over, some of them were on death row for 10 years, such a long time, and they'd changed, and you could tell through their last words. And then some of them hadn't. Some of them still saw taking someone's life as an acceptable thing to do. So I really wanted to explore that. But it did take me a long time. It took me 4 years to actually sit down and write the poems, because I felt I was intruding in some way upon their a very intimate moment, the last moment before their death.
Very public though, isn't it? That's with the execution, as it always has been. Executions were designed to be really quite public. They're supposed to be seen as a deterrent.
Which is very strange. I can't imagine that it actually is. Not that I've got any knowledge in that area at all, but it did feel very strange to be able to access all of the people who had been executed by Texas, all of their last words, and also the criminal reports, which had the last moments of other people as well, which seems very intimate too, those really quite gory details which are in the poems. And so I hope the poems in some way try to get into the heads of the criminals and see why they would commit these crimes. And coupled with the last words, hopefully they play off against each other.
Well, I asked if you'd read a poem for us.
Absolutely.
Sarah, which one have you chosen?
I've chosen Bees. On a barren hexagon of land, he builds her a house. He grades and stakes it for the concrete pour. He hauls great limbs of pine that cut his hands and strain his back, until the frame rises like a mighty saguaro cactus, filling with rain. One evening there is a fat cloud of bees. They hum like worn-out machines and rising canals. They hum into his empty spaces. He starts to sheath the frame, and each morning walks the skin of the house, cigarette in hand. He taps the hollows and listens for a riff of wings.
We should say that this is just part of your collection. You actually traverse a lot of grounds and you go into a lot of minds. I wonder about the geographer. What was your starting point for the geographer?
The geographer is actually about my father. My father is transgender and came out to the family a few years ago, quite a few years ago now. And so that poem was about how and it's, I think, really the only autobiographical poem in the book, about how my father and I kind of reconciled that change, how your father can go from being your father to suddenly being a woman. And I have quite a few friends who have transitioned and who are transgender, so that was never an issue. It was more about the idea of my father in my head as a man changing to my father as a woman, and what those ideas, man and woman, have, you know, along with them. And so that poem I used, my father is actually a geographer, which is why it's called The Geographer, and looks to use kind of the language of geography to talk about those really emotional issues.
With your dad reading that, what response did you get?
I got really two responses. One was, I think I might need to read it again because I don't think I got it the first time, which can happen when people aren't poetry readers. But he was really, or she, was really touched, I think, and yeah, found it just quite overwhelming, which was good. It's, you know, I want an emotional response, people to have an emotional response to my work. So
there's a lot of contrast in your collection, Sarah, too. I mean, at the start we've got quite a few small poems, and often they're, you know, written as prose, you know, in perfect squares essentially.
Yeah.
And a lot of those seem to have older people reflecting back, or yourself as a poet reflecting back on their younger days. And I was quite taken with that. It's quite a powerful concept, the older looking back to the younger.
Yeah, a lot of those are, I wouldn't say they're about my grandmother, but they're inspired by my grandmother and her relationship with my grandfather. So some of them that are in the war, and she lives in England, but I've been over there a few times and spent quite a lot of time with her. And when she talks, she reflects back on her childhood especially. And it just seemed something very tender that I really wanted to be able to capture in the poems. And the little poems, I call them brick poems because they look like little bricks on the page.
They do.
They seemed like the right sort of form to, like a little tender moment that you can enter into and just be part of, compared to, say, the Death Row poems, which are quite complex, and then the poems at the end of the book, which are long and quite narrative. So I really wanted that difference. So they start at the start of the book, the poems are like, yeah, these little small moments, and then as the book goes on, it kind of gets longer and longer and longer till you get into these huge long poems. Well, long for a poem, 4 or 5 pages at the end.
So experimenting with form is something you're clearly interested in doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd like to say that there was a method to it, but really I find something that interests me, and then I will practice it for a while, and then a group of poems will come out of that. So the brick poems, I worked on that sort of form for a year, and then the poems with the different voices, like the Death Row poems and the long narrative poems, I've written quite a few of those, and that's a form I really enjoy, that marrying together of poetry and all the, you know, rhythm and rhyme and assonance and all those poetic techniques with the story and voice and dialogue and narrative really let me explore relationships and how two people can influence each other's life, which can be quite hard to do in a short lyric poem.
A Man Runs Into a Woman by Sarah Jane Barnett is published by Hue and Cry Press.